There has been a flood of undocumented immigrant children coming across the U.S.-Mexico border, many coming from Central American countries. Some estimates put the number at over 50,000 since October of last year. And that has sparked a sharp debate in this country over the Obama administration's immigration policy as well as immigration reform. Matthew Peters is director of the Chesapeake Multicultural Resource Center in Easton. He spent about a decade in Guatemala. So was he surprised at the recent influx of children?
No, it didn't come as any surprise. This is something that we've been monitoring and following for a couple of years now, and we've seen a steady increase of the situation happening. The steady increase of people migrating from Central America up into to America, and the steady increase of children. And we've seen a steady increase, the decrease of ages of the children that are attempting to cross the border. So we've seen this phenomenon growing and growing and growing, and it's just hit kind of that boiling point where now it's kind of spilled into to national media.
Why is it that the ages have dropped lower?
I think it's just because the infrastructure's there for children to get across. The transportation's there. The dangers of doing it are lessening. The reason that they're just being handed over, I think, to Border Patrol agents is a reason for that as well, so that they don't have to cross the desert. The parents have some resources now. Either if they're working here in the United States, they have the monetary resources to pay people to do that type of transaction. Their immediate need is to get that child with them. Somebody offers to do that for X amount of dollars. They pay it, and then they just go with this.
One of the media narratives has been that word is being spread in these countries that if they send their children, they more than likely will be able to stay. Word has gotten out around the world about the president's lax immigration policies. I've seen reporting where they say, well, the people who engage in getting people across the border, they're going out and telling families, you know, if you get them over here, that they will probably be able to stay. Have you seen any evidence of that? What's your reaction to that?
So again, kind of my backstory is I left Central America in 2012. So it's been almost 2 years now that I've been back. And kind of from the moment that I've been back, I think that was right around the same time that this deferred action for immigrant children was passed and started going to effect. So I started communicating with my town that I'm very familiar with in Guatemala and the people there on the ground. And I was like, have you heard anything about this? They're thinking about now sending their children. And across the board was, what? We don't know anything about what goes on in the United States, what goes on politically, what bills are being passed, what they mean. That information is not getting down to the villages and towns, or anywhere really in towns in Guatemala. Talking then with the families, if that was part of the reasoning, again, I have seen zero indication of that is one of the reasons of this influx over the past couple, well, I've seen it at least for the past couple of years. It's just a coincidence that these are happening at the same time, but one does not affect the other, at least that I can see.
There was apparently some kind of gang truce in El Salvador and some of the urban areas of Guatemala. That apparently has evaporated in what I'm reading. And in Honduras, the homicide rate has tripled in the last decade, and it's highest the world for a country not at war. It sounds like there's violence that's escalating down there. What are you hearing?
So those are the correlations that I think and that I hear. When I talk back to the town down there, I mean, sometimes when we measure violence, it is just in homicide rates, and they are the highest. If you look at the highest countries in the world right now for that homicide violence, it is Honduras is number one. I think followed closely by Salvador and Guatemala are all in the top five. So combining those three countries, which are all close to each other, that is, it's called the Northern Triangle of Central America. That is the most violent region in the world and has been for a number of years. But that violence carries over to all other things. Violence, you know, there's just theft, robbery, kidnappings, extortions. A lot of those things that aren't so easily reported, that is on the rise as well. Other correlations, obviously, not just the violence, it's just the, if you look at just the extreme poverty that's happening, the access to food, the access to resources. So talking with families down there, it's just becoming increasingly difficult to get the basic needs, food, medicine, even shelter.
Is there anything that the United States can do?
I mean, obviously some type of immigration reform. I think that would be a two-way street. If you do have some of that some members of that community that are successful, if we give them a status where, okay, you're here, they, and I know from talking directly with them, would love to get back to Central America and start going back there and helping directly to their families. Right now, all they can do is send a check. So I think it would, any type of immigration reform, when we look at that, would open a two-way street. Yes, we'd get some people that would use that to come into the country, but I think we'd use a lot of people that are already here to find strategies on how to connect directly back to their country.
Matthew Peters, director of the Chesapeake Multicultural Resource Center in Easton, on the increasing number of undocumented children crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Radio.